The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Yeah, very good morning. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. Good to hear you guys. Sorry about some of the technical issues.
No problem.
Just fascinated to see that in Israeli newspapers this morning, the headlines are all American. The Senate confirms the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. What would happen in the event that Joe Biden may win the election? It's all kind of a very American focused, even though we've got a lot of issues that we're dealing with ourselves.
It is interesting. We always do that. We go through all of the news headlines around the world, and today was absolutely US dominated. So is there a thought in Israel that Biden would win? We were saying exactly the opposite here today. There's a sense that we're getting here that Trump seems to be pulling ahead in the polls and increasing his chances of winning.
Well, I think that the Israeli view is that Trump would obviously be a better result in the election for Israel. And in fact, the Americans who live in Israel, who've had the opportunity to vote, seem to have voted quite overwhelmingly in favor of Trump. Having said that, I think it's always very difficult to vote in an election where you don't actually live in the country where the election is being held, because the consequences are entirely different. People who live in America are worried about healthcare, worried about where their next meal's coming from, or worried about the local economic situation. Whereas we sitting in Israel are more worried about international diplomacy and how Israel is presented on the international stage. So the interests are entirely different. I think what the Israeli public is thinking is that we don't really know. It seems as if though the election is really too close to call, and it seems as if though we can't rely too much on the opinion polls, whether they're supporting Biden or supporting Trump. They seem to be unreliable. And from what we gather, we won't even know on the day after the election who really has won until all of those postal votes are counted. And some people are speculating that the result might only ultimately be known sometime in January or February.
Yeah, incredible that. Very, very interesting. Tell us about the state controller in Israel and criticism over COVID-19.
Well, the state controller, of course, has one of his responsibilities is to produce this regular report. Matanyahu Engelman, whose name sounds quite similar to our Prime Minister Netanyahu with November at the beginning, but this is Matanyahu with Mike at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Matanyahu Engelman, he produced a report that focuses on the period between July and September, and he's focused this report particularly on the country's efforts in education, testing, contact tracing, and preparations for the upcoming flu season. I think what is interesting about his report is less about what is written and more about what is not written. And he doesn't mention government decision-making anywhere in his report. There is no mention of the Prime Minister or the coronavirus cabinet or how those decisions have been made and how people have responded to the various things that have been happening. And instead, he's focused very much on the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Education and the medical health organizations, how they've been doing, and also some of the work that's been done to bolster the effort by the home front command of the IDF. And basically what the state controller has decided is that the Shin Bet's phone tracking efforts really failed, and more than failing, they resulted in hundreds of people being forced into quarantine without even coming into contact with a virus carrier, which is a real failure on a massive level. And he also spoke about the fact that even though the school system has moved to an online environment, there hasn't been enough work to ensure that all pupils have the relevant technology at their disposal to be able to continue their studies remotely. So that's a real issue. Went into some of the details of the epidemiological investigations for confirmed virus carriers. A lot of them were not completed. A lot of the tests were not, the results were not delivered within a reasonable period of time. There was lots of lack of manpower to properly conduct certain investigations. A lot of criticism being meted out at the grassroots level for the way in which the virus has been handled. It was interesting because, that report came out on exactly the same day that my local municipality wrote me an SMS to say, we've opened up virus tests for anybody who wants to come. No need for a referral from your doctor. No cost involved. Just turn up and be tested. So that's where we are now, apparently, because from what we can gather also from the state controller's report, there seems to be a lot of tests available that are actually not being used and could potentially go past their sell-by date if they're not used very soon. So I suspect that that's what's given rise to some of the things that are going on now, to try to test as many people as possible without cost and without the necessity to bring a doctor's referral or to have any particular reason. Like, for example, people who are traveling nowadays on planes are required to present a test that has been done within the last 3 days before they travel. So even without that necessity, you can go and be tested. I think that there is a good reason for people to be tested. I'm just not sure that I would go and be tested, because I just think to myself, look, I seem to be doing okay, and the last thing I want is to go somewhere and wait around with people who could potentially give me what I don't want. I think it's, keeping a low profile is probably a better solution, and that's certainly the route that I've chosen on this occasion. But also the state controller has said that, unfortunately, Israel is not properly prepared for the upcoming flu season. I've had my flu jab. I know that a lot of people have had flu jabs. They've been inviting people in the higher risk categories first, older people, younger people, people with pre-existing conditions. They've been invited to come and have flu jabs, and then it's going to be opened up to the general population. I'm not quite sure whether we have enough flu jabs even to go around, but there's certainly been quite a lot of criticism about the lack of preparedness for the upcoming flu season.
The IDF is carrying out a large-scale drill that simulates a war with Hezbollah. What are the main aspects of the drill?
Well, this is the biggest military exercise of the year, even though it has been scaled back due to the coronavirus issues. But there have been reserve soldiers called up. The exercise is really focused in the north of Israel, and it involves the Air Force, and it involves ground force troops, and it is considered to be a very, very significant, widespread exercise to somehow try to prepare the IDF a little bit more for a possible conflict with Hezbollah, given the fact that Israel hasn't actually fought a war with Hezbollah since 2006. So almost 15 years gone by now since the last face-to-face battle, if that's what you want to call it, has been fought, because obviously there have been many conflicts, pointed conflicts, particular issues over the years since then, but nothing of any wide-scale nature. And interestingly, the drill this time is called Lethal Weapon. And it involves, as I said, not only the Air Force and the Navy and the ground force troops, but also it involves Intelligence Directorate and the Technological Logistics Directorate and the Cyber Defense Directorate. So cyber is becoming a huge issue, even potentially one of the main issues that gets involved in all of these drills. And of course, is a very important part now of what the army has done. But this particular drill comes on the back of a massive drill that was that took place in Iran, where they had a drill that apparently covered half the country, was taking place last week, as far as I can gather. And it was an Air Force drill. The news agencies were reporting quite widely about what was going on in Iran. I think the purpose of these drills, not only in Israel, but in Iran as well, is all about coordination and communication. I think that each of the individual units in their own right are pretty well trained. They know what they need to do, and they have most of what they need at their disposal. The critical issue is just putting all the pieces of the puzzle together in a way that it creates a bigger picture, and creating proper communication and coordination between the various units and between the various elements of the army, just to make sure that everybody is able to conduct a war or a drill or a military exercise from a central command, and everybody knows what their role is and all of that. So I think that that's really the main purpose of these drills.
Really important, I imagine, that that this happens from time to time. The Monetary Committee of the Bank of Israel has decided to leave interest rates at 0.1% for now. Hard for South Africans to imagine. How did the committee assess Israel's current economic situation? It must be enormously difficult to get a real sense of what's going on.
The committee decided, there was some speculation before the decision of the Monetary Committee about what they might do about interest rates. Interestingly, 50% of the market analysts who were interviewed felt that the interest rate would remain the same, and 50% felt that the interest rate would actually be reduced. Now, I don't know where you could actually reduce the interest rate to other than to zero, but I mean, potentially, we have seen situations where interest rates have been reduced even below zero, negative interest, and that seems to have been one of the options available to the Monetary Committee in terms of getting the monetary policy on track. But in this particular situation, they decided to maintain things at 0.1%. The problem, of course, is that the economy is shrinking. The research department of the Bank of Israel feels that Israel's GDP will shrink in 2020 by around 6.5%. Which is obviously a pretty dire situation given the year-on-year GDP growth that Israel has experienced up until now. And in the best scenario, the Bank of Israel is predicting that the GDP may contract by 5% in 2020 and may potentially grow by as much as 6.5% in 2021. The negative side is that potentially the GDP will shrink 6.5% this year and will grow only 1% in 2021. But there is a view that the GDP will almost certainly grow next year, particularly after the massive fall that we've seen this year. But there were two main decisions that the Monetary Committee decided upon in order to try to help the economy in a little way. First of all, they decided to purchase bonds on the secondary market. 35 billion shekels worth of government bonds will be purchased in order to try clearly to increase some of the money flow within the economy. And the second measure is that the Bank of Israel decided to provide four-year loans to banks at a fixed interest rate of minus 0.1% against loans that the banks in turn will extend to small and micro businesses, providing that the interest rates that the bank charged to those businesses do not exceed prime plus 1.3%. So in other words, it's one, prime is currently at around 0.6%. So that means that those loans will be extended at less than 2% per annum in order somehow to try to give some impetus to the economy. So pretty difficult decisions these days for the Bank of Israel to make, you know, to get the monetary policy right and to try to get the economic growth back on track again.
Yeah, absolutely. Not an easy one at all. Anthony Reich. It's just gone 8:01. Thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. We'll chat to you tomorrow.